Well, again, I want to thank our worship team for using their gifts and skills to help lead us in worship of our great God. They're wonderful in how they do that and keeping our attention on Christ. Just a quick teaching moment before we get into some longer teaching moments. In these songs, I hope that we're beginning to recognize the characteristics of God. You know, we've been going through Exodus 34, 6, and 7. So this morning, in these songs, we sang about God's grace in that first hymn. We speak of God's faithfulness. In the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, you know, How Sure Our Salvation. I haven't heard that for, well, pretty much all my life until the last few months, so I've come to love that hymn. We spoke of God's forgiveness and sang of God's forgiveness in that last song. We spoke of His holiness and sang of His holiness. And so you see the attributes of God in Scripture, and we take those Scripture words and we put them to music over all the years, and we sing those attributes back to God because that's who He is, and that's why we worship Him. So I hope we're seeing this scripture and worship, but scripture leads to worship and all these things. And so let's keep connecting those dots. Today we're going to speak of God's faithfulness. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Exodus 34, verse 6. And we're going to read that in just a moment. But first of all, this is a story to get your minds and hearts thinking in the right direction. When Jessica was in high school, her parents divorced. And her idealistic dreams about what true love was going to be and faithfulness in marriage and what that would really look like, well, because of that divorce, all of that really took a hit in her life. She thought that love would last forever, but obviously with her parents it did not. So as a result of this divorce of her parents, she's really had difficulty trusting people since that time. And so now as a young adult, as she pursues dating relationships, she's learned to be very guarded and has even cut off some very good relationships for fear that somewhere down the line they're just going to fall apart anyway, so I don't want to give my heart away. So when her friend invited her to a Bible study, and at this Bible study she heard about a God who will always love her and a God who will always be faithful to her, she was very interested, but she was very skeptical. Could this really be true? She thought to herself. Now, Jessica is struggling to answer a key question in life that many people ask. And many people ask, is anyone true to their word at all? Is anybody faithful? You know the old saying, his word is his bond. Does anybody hold to that in this world? You see, in Jessica's situation, she's assuming that God is just like mom and dad, who make a commitment, and somewhere down the line, for whatever reason, they renege on that commitment, and they go back on it. And she assumes that God is just like that, and she says to herself, if that's what God is like, then I can't allow myself to be hurt like that again. Now, in our passage today, we hear God Himself proclaiming to all who will listen that I am a God who abounds in loving kindness and faithfulness and truth. And that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it, in this world? Because no one is 100% faithful to their word, not even us. You know, it was brought to my attention this week that a few weeks ago I told somebody, I'll find that verse for you and I'll send it to you. And I saw them this week, I said, did I ever send you that verse? No, you didn't, but I understand. So I wasn't faithful to my word. And so because we're sinful beings, because we make mistakes and I'm dense and forget things, and we don't follow through all of the time, and we don't follow through on things that are a lot more serious than just sending, you know, someone a note that you say, oh yeah, I'll send that to you. Here's what a quote from Evangelical Convictions, a book, and I thought this was a good quote. I want to share it with you. It says, as fallen creatures, we are shot through with contradictions and inconsistencies, and often suffer internal conflicts. Even in ourself, we're inconsistent. Our thought life is, you know, we have two sides going on inside of us. We may say one thing and do another, make promises that we never keep. But they say this, God never does. He is always perfectly consistent with Himself. He is always faithful and true. And so you may wonder, where are you getting that from? Why do we know that God is always faithful and true? Well, our scriptures. We're going to look at the Bible today and we're going to see this to be true. And I hope that, and I'm quite sure of it, you can look to your life and say, yes, God has been true to His word all these years of my life. And so today, if you're here as one like Jessica is, here as one who's, you know, you got some assumptions about God's faithfulness. That people haven't been faithful to me, so God won't be faithful to me. I ask you, just set those assumptions aside, and let's take a look at what the Bible says. And I hope that you can see that it's affirmed and confirmed through your experience. I know many of you would stand up here and say aloud, amen, that God's been faithful to me. And you can do that, by the way, if you'd like. But we're going to move on here to Exodus 34, 6 and 7. So let's read this together. And as we've been doing, we're going to read it together. And then we're going to go back and fill in the blanks because we've been memorizing this together, okay? If you really hate this exercise, well, it's good for you, so stick it out, okay? So let's do it together. It's good to hide God's word in our hearts. So first of all, let's all read it together. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. All right, church, let's give it a shot. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Very good, very good. I watched the video from last week in first service, so much better. Oh, you're good sports. All right, today we're going to take a look at three affirmations about God's faithfulness, and I would just like to pause here and pray for God's help. Father, we pray that we could in some way do justice to this attribute of yours, your faithfulness, and so we thank you for your presence with us, and we attach faith to your word, and we know that you will work greatly here in our hearts. So we pray this in your name, Jesus, our cornerstone. Amen. All right, you can see in the bulletin that my outline is less than full. And so I'm going to give you my outline today on this next slide. Here's the three affirmations we're going to look at. That God is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. God's word is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. And God's son is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. So let's start with the first affirmation. God is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. Okay, this word in Scripture, God abounds in loving kindness and truth. The word could be translated truth or faithful. He abounds in faithfulness. Here's some synonyms for this word to bring out the fuller meaning of it. It has the connotation of firmness, reliability, sureness, fidelity, steadiness, certainty, dependability, trustworthiness. When God says, I am abounding in truth or faithfulness, this is what he's talking about. He's fully trustworthy. He's fully dependable. He's fully reliable. He's firm. He's steady. He's not going to, I think of the Peanuts character, you know, when Lucy's holding the ball for Charlie Brown, he's not going to remove the ball when we go to kick it. He's going to leave the ball right there for us so that we can succeed in kicking it. He's reliable. Now, interesting, I found out some really cool stuff this week in my study. This word family, the family of faithfulness and truth, and this word family in Scripture, it says of this. Here's what one Bible dictionary says. It says, the basic root idea is firmness or certainty. One form of the word expresses the basic concept of support and is used in this sense of the strong arms of the parent supporting the helpless infant. In fact, this is how the word is used in Ruth. Remember Naomi at the end of the book of Ruth? She gets to hold her grandson. It says that she became his nurse, meaning she took care of this child, feeding him and changing him and watching over him and holding him. It's also used in that same way in a different context of the nurse. So God is supporting us. He's holding us, caring for us as a mother or a nurse would hold a child. They go on to say this, that the idea of support is also seen in 2 Kings 18:16, where it refers to pillars of support. In that context, it speaks of doorposts which hold the door and is bearing the weight of the building above it. And so it is firm, it's steady, it's strong, it's supportive. And this is what God is saying about himself. He is a firm foundation. He is a sure salvation, just as we sang in that song. Now, another thing I think is even more cool is that the word amen, everybody say amen, amen, is associated with this word faithful and true. This is pretty neat. Another quote from this Bible dictionary. Jesus used the word frequently, the word amen frequently, to stress the certainty of a matter. So in your Bibles, especially in the New Testament, the Gospels, if you have the King James Version, verily, verily, I say unto thee, or other versions, truly, truly, I say to you, that's the word amen. Amen, amen, I say to you. So what he's saying is that you can take this to the bank. This is sure, this is certain. What I'm about to tell you is a guarantee. And so this quote goes on to say, this indicates that the term so used in our prayers ought to express certainty and assurance in the Lord to whom we pray. Isn't that neat? When I say amen at the end of my prayers, it's not just a way to wrap up the prayer and let people know that meeting is over. It's a way for us to say, amen, Lord, I believe in my heart that you are faithful to carry out these things, that you are capable to follow through on the requests that I have made. I'm not just, you know, speaking words into the air. I'm coming to a being, a God who cares, a Father who is powerful enough to take care of these requests that I've made to him. Amen. I believe it. You are capable. That's what we say when we say amen. So hopefully our prayers have a little more pointedness to them when we pray now. Now, Pastor Dave did a great job last week preaching on God's love. And so we notice here in this scripture that the word loving kindness has with it all of these different meanings, loyalty and faithfulness and love and mercy. It's all wrapped up in this word. It's so rich. And so when God says here in our scriptures that I abound in loving kindness and truth, the word abound gets attached to truth also. I abound in loving kindness. I abound in truth. And so both the word loving kindness or loyalty and the word faithful add weight to this attribute of God. I'm a faithful God. I'm certainly trustworthy is what he is saying. Again, the word abound is attached here. He abounds or is exceedingly faithful. Last week we were out of town, went to visit my parents and my sister. And her kids and husband and kids came in too. So we all met at my parents back in Ontario. And there's a local fair that we go to whenever we're home. And at the fair, you know how they have the height for the rides? You know, you have to be above a certain level so that you can get on the ride. Well, my daughter Mara is at that 42-inch level. She's just right at that line. And so on one of the rides, she got on there and just above the line, she peeks above it. Well, when God says that he abounds in loving kindness and truth, he's not just saying, I just squeak over the line of the things that would make me say that, yes, I am loving kindness. No, God is like my friend James, who's 6'7". He's much higher than the 42-inch line. He exceeds, he abounds above the line of faithfulness and truth. And so God exceedingly abounds in loving kindness and truth. Okay, so that's the word, faithful, true, reliable, dependable. He's full of fidelity and sureness. You can count on it, church. When you come to God, you can count on it that he hears you and that he will work in our lives because of his character. Okay, so this word also is used in context that speaks of God being the true God. So let's take a look at some scriptures. Jeremiah 10:10 and John 17:3. But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God and the everlasting King. New Testament, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Apparently, Jesus was not a pluralist. God is the only true God. There are no other gods. There's one true God. We also see in the Old Testament, and we're going to take some New Testament verses in a moment, God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Great verse there, speaking of God's attributes. The next one is Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. I forgot to put the reference up there, but it's Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Listen to Moses' prayer. He says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." So this illustration, God is a rock. He's bedrock. God isn't like mud. You drive your combine into the muddy field and you sink in and you get stuck. It can't hold you up. No, God is like bedrock. He holds us up. He's faithful. Psalm 100, verse 5. "For Yahweh is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." His faithfulness is eternal. How many of you know that we're not the only people to ever live on the face of the earth? Okay. God has been around a lot longer than we are. And sometimes I can slip into this thinking, "God, what's going on? You know, this is swirling around me. Have you ever seen this situation before?" Certainly he has. He's a God who's faithful throughout all generations. From Adam and Eve forward, even before there were people, God is faithful. That's his character. And in Psalm 36, verse 5, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." If you ever get a chance to slip out into the country and just look up. So much of our life, we're just looking around like this. Look up. God's faithfulness reaches to the skies. Its expanse is huge. It's an illustration to show how grand God's faithfulness is. All right, New Testament verses. Multiple times in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, God is faithful. 1 Peter 4:19, he's the faithful creator. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told that God is faithful and will supply a way of escape from temptation to sin. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. With the temptation, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Isn't that a great promise? And by the way, in the midst of all this, we'll get into this when we talk of God's word. When God makes a promise, he's true to his word. And so there's a promise we could take. "You're faithful, Lord. You'll strengthen and protect me from the evil one." 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just," or righteous, "and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So there's another promise of God. He's faithful to forgive. You know, I was watching a television program yesterday, and a man said, "Could God ever forgive me for everything I've done wrong? So broken." And the person had the joy of just proclaiming the gospel to this man. Yes, God can forgive. If you will confess your sins, he will forgive you. He's faithful to do that. Take him at his word. And in 2 Timothy 2:13, I love this. He says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Isn't that awesome? There's a few things God can't do. He can't deny his character of being faithful. God's not able to be unfaithful. It's not in his character. And so we can take him again at his word. So what we could say in our day and age is, "I can count on God. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my defense." Now, as much as we must affirm God's reliability, we must also affirm our unreliability. As much as he is reliable, we are unreliable. In this Bible context, again, Exodus 32 through 34, we see a mirror of our human nature. And that's why it makes scripture so scary sometimes. It's like, "Oh, that's me. I do that." That's what the Bible was meant to do. It's meant to point out our insufficiency and to point us to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And so in this context, we see the Israelites being brought out of Egypt miraculously and marvelously by God's mighty hand. And then they're at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses is doing who knows what up there. I mean, where is this guy? And so the Israelites become impatient with God, with Moses, and they throw a big party to worship a golden statue. They worship an idol, giving the glory that belongs to the living and true God to a statue, as if we were to set up a chair today and begin to worship it. I mean, How ludicrous is that? And so even though God had obviously shown his power to the Israelite people, just months earlier, they stopped trusting God and started trusting themselves by worshiping this idol. And they grew impatient. I want to ask us, how often do you do that? How often do I do that? God, I have been praying for this for 13 years. That seems like a long time to us, isn't it? It is. God is outside of time. 13 years is nothing to him. He'll bring that prayer, that answer to prayer in his time. You know, we've read about and experienced God's faithfulness in our lives, yet just a short time later, we grow impatient and return to trusting ourselves. Let me give you an example. When I was in seminary, I got through a really hard week. I mean, I was complaining and this is so hard and God, you got to help me this week. And got to the end of the week, everything got taken care of. And so I could take you to Lake Bluff, Illinois, and take you to the house and where I was sitting when this happened. And I said to the Lord, thank you so much for getting me through this week. And I was praising God. And I'm not kidding. Just moments later, I looked at the assignments that were due the next week. And literally, the anxiety that I had the week before returned to me, and I began to freak out again. And then God stopped me. I stopped myself. A combination of the two, I don't know. But I thought, oh, this is silly. Look back at the last week. All that God helped you get through. Why do you think he won't help you get through this week? And obviously, I passed seminary, and here I am. And so we get impatient. We're unreliable. But God is faithful. And that's where the hope is. Not that you're so awesome, but because God is so awesome and he helps us through. He's a good God. So that's our first affirmation, that God is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. Second affirmation, God's word is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. Again, we've heard that saying, a man is as good as his word, right? You know, we often hearken back to the good old days when a man's word was his bond. And this speaks of trustworthiness, reliability. All that needed was his word and a handshake, and we knew the deal was done. Certainty, trustworthiness. Well, with God, we could say, his word is as good as himself. Man is as good as his word. With God, his word is as good as himself. He and his word are inseparably intertwined. God speaks truth because he is truth. These scriptures tell us this. God is truth and tells the truth. Titus 1:2. God, here's another thing God can't do. He can't lie. It's not that God won't lie. It's that he can't. It is impossible for God to lie, which is what Hebrews 6:18. He just can't do it. It's not in his nature. He can't be unfaithful. He can't lie. You and I can get really good at lying. God can't do that. He can't be a good liar. He's good at telling the truth. In fact, he's perfect at telling the truth. And so we can take him at his word. Here's some scriptures about God's word. And when we speak of God's word, we're speaking of the Bible, Old and New Testament, 66 books. Psalm 19:7, the testimony of the Lord is sure. This is this word, faithful and true. It's sure. It's certain. It's concrete, it's bedrock, making wise the simple. Psalm 119, verse 160. I love this verse. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. So God's word is truth. It is all truth, and it lasts forever. And Isaiah 25:1. I probably read this verse. In fact, I have in the past, but it never stuck out to me until this week. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Isn't that beautiful? God made promises thousands of years ago, which have come true and will come to fruition, and he works it with perfect faithfulness. Just because there's a time delay from our perspective between a promise made and a promise fulfilled doesn't mean that God's unfaithful. It's just not time yet. It's not time yet. I will do this in the future, he says, and he brings it to fruition. He does. He will. He has. He will continue to do so. And so we have to remember that. Here's a quote from Wayne Grudem on God's faithfulness and the truth of his word. God is reliable and faithful in his words. With respect to his promises, God always does what he promises to do. And we can depend on him never to be unfaithful to his promises. He can be relied upon. He will never prove unfaithful to those who trust what he has said. Indeed, the essence of true faith, and as Christians we walk by faith, is taking God at his word and relying on him to do as he has promised. And so I don't think it's wrong in our prayers to say, God, you promised, and I'm trusting in that promise. And so we're banking on him. We're saying, God, I know what you have said, and I don't know how you'll work out the details, but I trust that you will. It's faith. This is what God's faithfulness is calling us to. It's calling us to trust. It's calling us to lean our whole weight upon him. God is faithful in his word. Now, there's many reasons why we as human beings fail. We're frail, and we make mistakes. We don't get it all the time. But there's, I think, one main reason that we doubt God's faithfulness in our lives, and that's because we don't read and reflect upon Scripture enough and internalize it. We don't know what God has said, so that when we're in a certain situation, we're thinking, is there any Scripture on this? Well, yes, there is. But if we know it ahead of time, we can see what God is doing by his grace. When you read the Bible, you realize that God is not a Jiffy Lube God. It's not 10 minutes or less, okay? God makes promises. Think of the promises in these particular contexts. God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make their descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky, and I will give you this land. Now, at this point, with Moses and the Israelites in the desert, the descendants' promise has begun to be fulfilled. And that is an ongoing promise, by the way. We are children of Abraham by faith. But the land promises at this point have not been fulfilled yet. They haven't gone into the land. And so it wasn't until Joshua led them into the land that this promise was fulfilled. And so do you see the time span between when he gave the promise to Abraham and when he brought Joshua into the land was over 450 years. That's not 10 minutes or less. And so when we understand that God operates on his own timetable, it helps us to have patience and to trust him in his faithfulness. Hopefully I made that distinction clear. So knowing how God operates to fulfill his promises helps you to trust in him. One step that we could take here is if you're not in the Bible on a regular basis, we have some reading plans available on our website. If you go to our website, finleyefree.com, you click on media, you'll see another tab that comes up, sermons, resources, and then you can click on resources. In that, you'll see Old and New Testament. Within those Old and New Testament tabs are reading plans. So you can just, it tells you what to do. Read Mark chapter 3 today. Okay, I'll do that. And so I'll read Mark chapter 3. And as you get to know the God of Scripture and how he works, the grand story of God, it helps you to rely on the promises of his word. I don't say this for any selfish reasons, but I don't think a lot of people know that all of our sermons are online too. So if you want to listen to God's word of all of our preachers through all these years, you can go and you can see a video back about a year or two, and then everything else is on audio. So if you need to listen to a sermon, just be taking in God's word. That's available on our website too. But we need to know and trust that God's word is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. And so the point of this affirmation is this. Take heart, church. God is faithful and true to his word. J. Carl Laney says this, God's word is as sure as his character. Jesus affirmed this when he said in John 17, 17. Anybody know that? He said, your word is truth. Great confidence there. Okay. Your word is truth. Truth. Your word is truth. And so his word and his character go together. All right, let's move on to our third affirmation, and that is that God's Son is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. As God the Father abounds in faithfulness and truth, so does his Son. Now, these verses I'm about to share with you are further evidence for Jesus being divine, because the same titles used of God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament are used of Jesus in the New Testament. So that's one reason that we believe that Jesus is fully divine. He's God, God in flesh. All right, God's Son is fully faithful and can be fully trusted. Hebrews 2:17 says that Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation or atonement or forgiveness for the sins of the people. He's a faithful high priest. He carried out all of his duties with perfect faithfulness. That's Hebrews 2:17. Revelation 3:7 says this. Jesus is speaking to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And so he says to the church at Philadelphia, that's not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by the way, but could apply. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "He who is holy," that's Jesus, that's God, "who is true," who's the true God, that's Jesus, that's Yahweh. He says this to the church. Okay, so Jesus is God's Son. He's fully faithful. Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The Amen, the faithful and true witness." See, now we know what the amen means, right? You can count on me. When I say it, I do it. I am faithful. I am true. I am the faithful and true witness. What I have spoken to you can be counted on. This is Jesus, God in flesh, exalted Jesus. And then Revelation 19:11, which is what we look forward to. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse who sat... And he who sat on it is called, read it, church, what's it say? Faithful and true. This is Jesus. We can count on Jesus. And so he died. He came to this earth through the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, living a perfect life, and all of these miracles, bringing the kingdom of God to bear against the kingdom of Satan in this world. And so he dies on the cross for our sins, shattering the power of sin, of death, and of Satan. He's buried in the grave. He's raised again on the third day by God's mighty hand. He appears to his disciples over a period of 40 days. He's ascended to heaven at this time where he is making intercession for us at the right hand of God. And he will return on the white horse as the one who is faithful and true. Do you know this Jesus? Have you trusted this Jesus? He's the Messiah. He is God's chosen one. He's the faithful and true one. If you don't know him, call out to him. Begin to follow him. Jesus, by faith, I trust that your sacrifice on the cross was the payment for sins, that your resurrection from the dead was the guarantee that I could have eternal life by your grace. Call out to him, and he'll save you from your sins, and he'll grant you forgiveness. That's what you do. That's what you do. You trust the one who is faithful and true. And so why did God make promises about his Son who would come? Because he's true. Why did God fulfill those promises that he made about his Son? Because he's faithful. Why did Jesus live among us and show us the way to God? Because he's true. Why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Because he's faithful to forgive. Why did God raise Jesus from the dead? Because he's the true God, and you can't keep God in the grave. Why did Jesus promise to return and be our king? Because he is the Amen, the one who is faithful and true God. And so, church, we can fully trust God, we can fully trust his word, and we can fully trust his Son, because all of those are fully trustworthy. You know, the character of our God, who abounds in loving kindness and faithfulness and truth, he calls us to trust in him. So I ask all of us, how's the trust factor in our life? Have we been pulling and tugging and making our own way and scheming and manipulating and saying, if I just make that phone call, if I just get to that first person first, if I just do this, then I can make it happen? Nah. That's a whole lot of self-effort. I mean, we got to take care of our responsibilities, absolutely. But are we trusting in the one who is faithful and true and has a timetable that we need to trust in? You know, we can trust in God even in devastating times. Lamentations 3:21 and 23 is a powerful declaration of faith. In this context, Jerusalem has been leveled. People have been deported to Babylon. I mean, Jerusalem is a complete mess. War-torn, smoldering, buildings down. And Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, which has a very somber tone given the title, he says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope, because if I just look at the circumstances around me, I don't have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He wasn't sitting at some resort when he said that, sipping on a lemonade, looking at the sailboats. No. In the devastation of life, Jeremiah, who was a prophet, ridiculed his whole life, still at an old age can say, great is your faithfulness, God. It's beautiful. But also we can see God's faithfulness in his daily provision. And the hymn, we're going to sing a hymn in just a few moments, Great is Thy Faithfulness, of course. It goes with today's attribute of God. But the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, was originally a poem written by Thomas Chisholm in 1923. It was put to music by a man named William Runyon. It's become a beloved declaration of worship for God's church throughout the world through all these years. Thomas Chisholm was born in Kentucky, and at the age of 27, he accepted Christ as his Savior at a revival. And in a letter dated 1941, Mr. Chisholm writes this. He says, "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the early years, which has followed me on until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." And so what he saw was just the day in, day out faithfulness of God. In this book called 101 Hymn Stories, where I took this from, says this: "While many hymns are born out of a particular dramatic experience, this hymn was simply the result of the author's morning by morning realization of God's personal faithfulness." And so we can put the words up there to "Great is Thy Faithfulness." So with that backdrop, you can see him saying, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There's no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest." So you see the seasons after season. "Sun, moon, stars in their courses above, join with all of nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin," so God is faithful to forgive, "a peace that endureth," amen, "Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." And then the refrain, "Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see, all I have needed Thy hand hath provided, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And so there's the declaration of one man, which has become an anthem for the church, of God's faithfulness year in and year out. And so, church, I end with these scriptures. We will receive the promised outcome of our faith, not because our faith is steadfast and immovable. Oh, no, I've proven that many times. But because the one in whom we trust is faithful and true. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And then I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12. "For this reason I also suffer for these things, but I am not ashamed." And you can hear this just coming right from his gut. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So, church, I say, how's your faith? How's your trust in this faithful and true God? Let me pray as our worship team comes. God, what a privilege it is to speak of these things. Wow. Thank you for the opportunity to declare your faithfulness and to recall to mind how you've been faithful in my life and in my family's life. I pray that prayers even now are being lifted to you from all across this worship center, proclaiming your faithfulness in our lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the truth of who you are. You are certain. You are firm. You are steady. You are immovable. We trust you. We trust you, Lord. Whatever we face, we trust you. And receive this response from grateful hearts, we pray. Amen.